And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, My Father's Talis, is dedicated to the memory of its author, the late Morton Wishengrad, pioneer in the development of the Eternal Light, a unique concept in religious programming.
In my whole life, I have wanted only three things. To see my mother again, not to live in a concentration camp, and to have a talis exactly like my father's. What is a talis? It is a prayer shawl. My father's talis was made of silk, pure white silk, with blue stripes at the ends. He used to tell me how, in the good days, before I was born, when the synagogues were standing, a man could put on his prayer shawl on the Sabbaths and the holy days and not be molested. But I must tell my own story. How do you begin a story that has no beginning and has no end? I shall begin on that morning when a strange voice spoke through the loudspeaker.
You are no longer prisoners. Concentration Camp 48 is now under the protection of the United States Army. All able-bodied men are requested to line up for roll call. All children report at once for medical inspection.
Now, don't be afraid, boy. Sergeant, didn't you explain that I'm a doctor?
Yes, sir.
And tell him to put his bundle down so I can examine him.
He refuses, sir. He won't let that bundle out of his hand. Something about a talus in it. I don't know what he means.
All right, Sergeant. Ask him his name.
Yes, sir. The Amerikanische Doktor mochte deinen Namen wissen.
Ich heiße Abraham Engel.
I got that, Sergeant. How old is he?
Wie alt bist du?
13 Jahre.
He says he's 13, sir.
Ask him to tell the truth.
Sag die Wahrheit. Wie alt bist du?
13 Jahre.
He sticks to 13, sir.
Well. Find out how long he's been in this place. That should get us somewhere.
Wie lange warst du in diesem Konzentrationslager?
10 Jahre.
10 Jahre?
What does he say, Sergeant?
He says he's been in this hellhole for 10 years, sir. That's why he's so scrawny, I guess.
Good Lord. Sergeant, ask him why there are no other children here.
Yes, sir. The doctor mochte wissen, warum keine anderen Kinder hier sind.
Wenn viele sterben, nur wenige werden geboren.
Doc, he says that when many are dying, only a few are born.
Yes, I guess so, Sergeant. Judging from his appearance, he has no business being alive.
Jungens wie ich sind die biologischen Folgen dieses Krieges.
What was that, Sergeant?
He says that the young like him are the biological consequences of war.
Oh. Abraham Engel, try to understand me, please. We're friends, see? Freunde. So take your shirt off, boy. I promise I won't hurt you. Put down your talus, whatever that is. No one's going to take it away. No one. I promise.
To the Americans, the talus was only a strip of silk with fringes at the corners. But isn't it also the badge of Israel? And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You must understand what this palace means. I shall tell you only a few things. To begin, it was 10 years ago. We were brought to the concentration camp, my mother, my father, and I. It is my first memory of childhood, that first day in the camp.
Hannah?
Hmm?
Why are you taking off your wedding ring?
The boy needs bread, Joseph. And there's a guard outside.
He won't give you bread.
He might, Joseph, for this ring. Abraham, you stay with Father. Mother will be right back.
Well, Hannah?
I gave him my ring and he took it, Joseph.
And the bread?
No bread. He took my ring and said, no bread.
Don't grieve. We'll manage for the boy somehow.
If he'd only laughed at me, Joseph, but no, he just took the ring and looked at me with a face of stone, and then he said, move on, Jew.
Hannah, you don't hear the guard, do you?
No, no, Joseph, but hurry, hurry.
The boy's almost up. It's up.
Good.
We can hide it now. Abraham, quickly, give me the bag and try to remember what I'm saying. You're only a little boy. I don't expect you to understand, but try to remember. This little bag, my phylacteries, are here, and my talus. I'm going to hide them under the board, Abraham. Do you understand? They must not take them away.
Please hurry, Joseph. I'm afraid.
Listen, boy. These are symbols. I wish I had a simpler word, but they are symbols, just as Mother's wedding ring was a symbol. They took her ring away, Abraham. They mustn't take this away also. For we are only people, and people live and die by their symbols. When we lose them, we lose our dignity. And that's even worse than dying. So here we are, three human beings burying their symbols. Step hard on the board, Abraham. Step down hard.
A talus hidden beneath a wooden board. One symbol buried. And that night, another symbol was taken away. We were fast asleep when the sudden footsteps came. A door opened and slammed shut. They had come to take my mother away. I felt the breath leave my father's body. I tasted my mother's kiss on my mouth. But all I saw were the shiny boots. They were such clean boots. And so many. And so black polish. And when the door slammed shut again and left us empty in the room, I reached my hand and touched the board where my father's talus lay buried. And it seemed then that the light that shone was like darkness. And I cried. They told us that Mother had been transferred to a camp for women. And then, for 10 years, while we were beaten, and while we slowly starved and saw the horror surround us that was more terrible than death, we kept each other alive, my father and I, praying that somewhere she was waiting for us. And for 10 years, my father gave me his words to listen to, gave me the learning he remembered from my study, and always the example of his own quiet way to follow.
Listen, Abraham. Why was man created on the sixth day? To teach that if he is ever swollen with pride, It can be said to him, a flea came ahead of thee in creation. Abraham, do you know why I teach you? Because it is written in the Talmud that the world itself rests upon the breath of the little ones in the schoolhouse.
But, Father, how can anything be greater than the giving of the law to Moses?
The falling of rain is an event even greater.
But why?
The giving of the law was for Israel, but rain is for the entire world. All men are knit together with bones and sinews and clothed with skin and flesh.
Then what is it, Father, that curdles the spirit like cheese and turns it sour against itself?
Abraham, now I know you are no longer a child.
Joseph, why do you spend all your time teaching the boy?
It's foolish. Here's where we rot, and here's where we're going to die. What good is to learn?
Someday there'll be a place in the world for learning.
You won't live to see it, Joseph.
Perhaps not.
What are you smiling at?
An old story my father told me about a carob tree.
Let's have it.
Let Abraham tell it. He knows it.
Go ahead, boy.
Well, a traveler once saw an old man planting a carob tree. When will the tree bear fruit? Asked the traveler. Oh, perhaps in 70 years, the old man answered. Do you expect to live to eat the fruit of that tree? No, said the old man. But I didn't find the world desolate when I entered it. And as my fathers planted for me before I was born, so do I plant for those who come after me.
Come along, Abraham. I think there are still trees to be planted.
There, in the concentration camp, my father and I planted such trees as must always blossom and yield fruit. But while we spoke of learning, the prison guards were shaking their fists at the sky against the plains. My father should have known the war was nearly over. Perhaps if he had, he would have shown me the Talis sooner. I asked him to.
No, Abraham, you must not speak of the Talis. It isn't time.
Why not, Father? I even know the blessing for the Talis.
I pray you will know many blessings. May you know the blessings of the fruit of trees, the sustenance of land, the fragrant wood and scented flowers, and faithful covenants in years of peace. And your mother's face. May you know all these blessings, Abraham. But it is not time for me to show you the Talis.
When will it be time?
I don't know. Perhaps when man will no longer endure injustice, when walls will not only shut out hate, but also let in light. Perhaps when I am sure the war is over. Now, don't speak to me of the Talis. Now we shall accept our bounty of lukewarm water and potato peelings, and bless God they give us even that.
Father, it's the guard.
Don't be afraid. He shan't do anything to you.
You there. You. I wish to speak with you.
Stay close, Abraham. What do you want with me?
Here, take it. It's for the boy. Well, what's the matter? Take it, boy.
What is it, Father?
Excuse me. He has never seen a whole potato before. Take it, Abraham. I just don't understand this.
Well, there's nothing to understand. The boy looks hungry to me. I'm not a mean man, so it's a present for the boy. You'll tell them, won't you, when they come?
Tell them?
Oh, you know what I mean. There are good Germans and bad Germans. Now, I'm not a bad fellow. You'll tell them, huh?
You want me to protect you?
Why not?
It's a bit too much for me.
You're a fine fellow. Now eat the potato, boy. Maybe tomorrow you'll get two potatoes.
Father, I think now you can pry up the board and show me Vitalis. The war must be nearly over.
Has it mildewed, Joseph?
I hope not, Solomon. Open the little bag, Abraham, and take it out.
I think it's a risky business, Joseph. They'll kill you if they see it.
No, no. It's not mildewed at all, is it? A little soiled, but it's the talus.
It's just like I remember it, Father.
Joseph, how many years is it since we were able to say a prayer together and put on a talus?
You're quite right. I'm very selfish. I shall say the blessing, and we will each put it around our shoulders in turn. You first, Abraham. Hold it a little while, and then pass it. Baruch atah Hashem, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvosav, v'tzivanu lihisatef patzitzis. Jacob, once you could sing the melody, won't you?
Mayokor chasdecho Elohim uvenei odom itzel kinofecho yechesoyu.
That's how he sang. Jacob put on my father's talus, and he shut his eyes and sang the words. How precious is thy loving kindness, O God. And the children of men take refuge under the shadow of thy wings. Jacob sang the melody, and the talus in which he was wrapped was no longer soiled. We heard no one. We saw no one. O God above, we should have seen them. We shouldn't have shut our eyes, for they had come. Had come. The black boots. The shiny black boots. Boots all around us. Boots that were not dirty. Boots that were clean. That glistened with polish. Strong boots. So many boots. And spilling over the boots. So slowly. Oh, so slowly. Drops of blood spilling. Spilling over the shiny black boots. My father's talus, bright with red. And my father's hand upon his talus.
Joseph, can you speak?
The boy wants to see him, Solomon.
No, no. Get some water for him first. They'll give you some water, at least, even if they won't send a doctor.
Solomon, it isn't any use. Let the boy see his father before he dies.
All right. I'm sorry. Send the boy in.
I'm here.
You want us to leave you?
I'm frightened.
We'll stay with you, Abraham.
Father? Father, can you hear me, Father? It's Abraham.
Joseph, it's your son. Joseph Engel, It's your son.
Yes. He's trying to say something. Have you the talus?
I have it here. See?
The talus should be white, not red.
Yes, Father.
A man should be buried in his talus.
We'll try, Father.
He won't allow it. You have it, Abraham. You always wanted a talus exactly like this one.
No, Father. No, I don't.
Keep it. This. And you, Abraham. My symbols. You keep it. Solomon?
Yes, Joseph?
I'm rather tired.
Yes, Joseph.
If his mother is alive, if you live, you'll help him find her.
I promise.
Good. I'm satisfied.
Many graves in Europe, and there are no stones to mark them. Are not all men knit together with bones and sinews, and clothed with skin and flesh? And bone becomes nothing, and sinews rot, and flesh sickens and becomes dust. And men plant trees, and know that they will never harvest the fruit. Yet the generations are not born into desolation. All my life, I have wanted three things. To see my mother again. Not to live in a concentration camp. And to have a talus exactly like my father's. Now I have the talus. Someday I shall see my mother. And on Sabbath, she will say the candle blessing, and I will sing the Sabbath Kiddush. And perhaps that will be in Eretz Yisrael. It is a good thing to stand beside the barbed wire and be able to see a dream. Yes, it is a good thing. And my generations will not be born into desolation. For I shall show them my father's talus.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now, we present a tribute to the late Morton Wishengrad by Dr. Moshe Davis, first program editor of the Eternal Light radio series, now head of the Institute of Contemporary Jewry at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, who is on leave from the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Rabbi Davis.
From Yerushalayim, mother city of consolation, I join in the lament for Meir Baruch ben Moshe Chaim, Zichrono Levracha, for Morton Wishengrad, of blessed memory. I ask, in the spirit of the first question he asked in my father's talis, written almost 20 years ago, what is the meaning of a life that was blessed with a verdant spring, yet cut down even before summer's end? This problem Morton probed for himself and others in the varied human situations which he dramatized with supreme sensitivity. While he uttered the question through the voices of the Abrahams and Josephs he created for us, it was his text of life they spoke, his anguish, his denial, his acceptance, his affirmation. There is a truth about Morton Wishengrad which few knew. Morton had a discerning heart, full of the wisdom of the human struggle. But it was an ailing heart, having been afflicted early in life. Out of his physical weakness, he knew better than the doctors who tried to spare him that he would not live out the fullness of man's days on earth. Thus, in conscious knowledge, Morton lived every day with life and with death. He experienced within himself the agony and the exaltation of the world, knowing evil and knowing good, yet hoping to vanquish the evil and transform it into a higher good. Morton suffered the trial of living a twin life, to face up to imminent death and simultaneously to explore life itself in its fullest meaning. He learned to understand and to write about life and death as equal partners of a great continuity. As I have been thinking about Morton and the years I worked beside him, I feel that this reconciliation of life and suffering helps explain the way he developed his genius to grasp the human dilemma. It explains, in great measure, the paradoxes in his parables, the fantasy in his reality, his delight in otherworldly tales, the sadness, the omnipresent sadness in his humor. It explains his distinctive touch for folklore and the pungent, provocative character of his dialogues. It explains why week after week, uncounted millions of listeners of all faiths, beliefs, and of all ages turn to the eternal light, and why so many of them wrote almost as if in one letter of gratitude, "You have touched our heart." Within a short span of time, the name of Morton Wishengrad became an inspiring influence in homes throughout the United States and Canada, to soldiers overseas, to children in the religious schools. For this vast world of listeners, Morton possessed the capacity and the honesty to temper suffering with the grandeur of hope, and to place both under the aspect of eternity. What has Morton given us, the Abrahams, who have remained after him to wear the tallis and to recite the blessing? He wrote the testament. I recite it. As his fathers planted for him before he was born, so did Morton plant for those who come after him. May he be bound in the bond of the living. Yehi Zichro Baruch. The memory of Meir Baruch Ben Moshe Chaim, the memory of Morton Wishengrad, will always be a blessing.
Our Eternal Light program today, My Father's Tallis, was dedicated to the memory of its author, the late Morton Wishengrad, pioneer in the development of the Eternal Light. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical music. We wish to thank Call Israel, the state broadcasting service, for recording Rabbi Davis's remarks. Featured in the cast were Peter Laser as the boy Abraham, with Roger DeCoven and Jan Miner as his father and mother. Others include Mandel Kramer, Norman Rose, Leon Janney, Guy Rep, and Jim Dukas. Be with us next week when the Eternal Light presents A Child's Life by Erwin Gontchak, presented in observance of the 20th anniversary of the Battle of the Warsaw Ghetto. This is Bill McCord. Our program was directed by Kenneth McGregor. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.